Please, everyone standing, take your Bible and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'd like for us to either quote or read together, all together, John 3 and verse 16. Do you have it? All right, all together, John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Thank you. You may be seated. Perhaps the first verse that you learned when you went to Sunday school as a little boy or a little girl was John chapter 3 and verse 16. You probably have heard more sermons from that passage than any other passage in the Bible. You may have heard a dozen sermons, but here's the beauty of the Word of God. You did not hear two that were exactly alike. That's the depth of the Bible. I call it the sweetest song ever sung this side of heaven. Every song that's ever written is written in a particular key. Our song, the sweetest song ever sung this side of heaven, is written in the key of be saved. Many nationwide revivals have been begun by the preaching of John 3:16. In 1891 in India, there was a tribe called the Telugu. A man stood up and he preached on John 3, verse 16. In that message alone, there were 2,222 people who received Jesus Christ. In the next 30 days, there were 5,000 people who received Christ. In the next 10 months, there were 10,000 people who were born again. And it began by the preaching of John 3 and verse 16. This morning, I want us to notice in the sweetest song ever sung this side of heaven, four movements that our song has. Number one, the cause. For God so loved the world. That little word so is the biggest word in the English language. Ephesians 3 and verse 18 says, it's impossible to comprehend the height, the depth, the breadth, or the width of the love of God. Ephesians 3 and verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Ephesians 5 and verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Galatians 2 and verse 20, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, for it is the love of Christ that constraineth us. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For who shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Ladies and gentlemen, the cause for God's soul love the world. Perhaps the greatest love that is known to mankind is the love that the mother has for a baby. And that's why abortion is so unnatural. When I look at my daughters and they look at their children, there is a look that they give them that they don't give even their parents. Now, how many of you ladies are mothers? Raise your hand, please. Let me ask you a question. Remember the night those labor pains started? You say, how in the world could I ever forget them? All right, now they started out slowly, didn't they? And they kept intensifying, and they kept intensifying. And just before that baby was born, you felt it was impossible to remain sane and experience that type of pain. But let me ask you a question. How long did it take for that pain to become a distant memory? The moment you held that little bundle of joy in your arms, that pain became a distant memory. Bring that baby home from the hospital, and that mother's ear is attuned to that crib. Every movement the child makes, the mother hears it. The next morning, the mother gets up and says to her husband, "Honey, did you hear the baby turn over last night?" And he says, "I didn't hear anything." Hey, who was it that stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning and put cold packs on that baby's head when it had 103 or 104 degree temperature? Was it the husband? Not on your life. But I'm talking about a love that far exceeds the love that a mother has for her child. The songwriter said, "Could we withink the ocean fill? Or were the skies a parchment made? Would every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. For God so loved the world." Two things about that love. Number one, it is unconditional. In Romans 10 and verse 21, it's, "But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched out my hands to a disobedient and a gainsaying people." It's unconditional. A woman came to a pastor one night and she said, "Preacher, I've got to get saved. And I need to be saved and I'm going to be saved." But she said, "I can't be saved like I am." She had been a prostitute. And the preacher said, "Now listen, you come to Christ just like you are." She said, "But preacher, I can't tell you how I've lived. If I did, it would embarrass you. It would embarrass me." He said, "Ma'am, your conditions are you've got to clean up. God's conditions are you come just like you are." She said, "But preacher," he said, "just like you are." She went home that night thinking, "Just as I am, just as I am." In the middle of the night, she got up, got down on her knees, and she called out to God to save her soul. After Charlotte Elliott was saved, she wrote these words, "Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." You say, "I've been a drunkard." He wants you this morning. You say, "I've been a prostitute." He wants you. You say, "I've been an adulterer." He wants you. You say, "I've been a drug addict." I don't care what your sin has been. He wants to make it as white as snow. That love is unconditional. Number two, it is undeserved. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared unto thee of old, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Man came to me in Kansas City and he said, "Brother Comfort, I go downtown and I see these dirty, stinking, smelly hippies." And he said, "It makes me sick." I said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute." I said, "How do you think you looked to God before God saved you?" I said, "You think God looked down and he saw somebody who had a good personality? He dressed nicely, he took a bath and wore deodorant and said, I'll save him because he'll be a help to my cause?" I said, "Sure, that's not why God saved you or me." And I said, "Let me remind you of something. We didn't look so beautiful to God before God saved us. Romans 5 and verse 6 says we were ungodly. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, we were dead in trespasses and in sin. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, we were children of disobedience. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, we were strangers. We were aliens in our mind by wicked works. Ephesians 2 and verse 13, we were afar off. But Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I read about a young man who came to Bughouse Square in Chicago. He was an atheist. And Bughouse Square is exactly what the name implies. It's a place where the heretics come and they propagate their false doctrine. Well, on this occasion, the atheist had a large crowd assembled before him. He said, "I'm here for one reason." He said, I'm going to take 5 minutes and I'm going to prove to you that there's no God. He said, now, after 5 minutes, if there's anybody stupid enough to believe in a God, I want you to take the platform. So the atheist pulled out his watch and he looked at the sky and he said, God, if there is a God in heaven, I'll give you 5 minutes to strike me dead. He paced the platform. He said, what's wrong? Has your God gone on vacation? God, you've only got 3 minutes. If you're up there, strike me dead. Kept pacing the platform. Finally, he looked at his watch and he said, now, God, you've got 30 seconds. A lot of people aren't going to believe in you. If you're up there, strike me dead. 5 minutes were up. He said, you see, I told you there was no God. He said, is there anybody in this crowd stupid enough to believe in a God? Young man raised his hand at the back of the crowd. And he said, sir, I'd like to take the platform. On down the aisle ran a young man from Moody Bible Institute. When he came to the platform, he said, ladies and gentlemen, on my way over here today, I met a little boy. His clothes were dirty and ragged. He said it was obvious he hadn't had a bath in a long time. And so I walked over to the little boy and I said, young man, I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to take you to a restaurant and buy you something to eat. Little boy said, get away from here. I'll have nothing to do with you. He said, I thought I'd try again, so I took a step closer and I said, young man, you don't understand. I'm your friend. I want to take you to the restaurant. I'd like to buy you some clothes. He said, get away from here. I'll have nothing to do with you. He said, I thought I would try one more time. So I walked over and put my hand on his shoulder, just a show of affection. And I said, young man, you don't understand. I'd like to give you some money. I'd like to buy you some clothes. I'd like to buy you a meal. And the little boy said, get your dirty hands off me. I'll have nothing to do with you. He said, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one reason why I didn't slap that little boy's face. Because I loved him. He said, this atheist has gotten up here this afternoon and he has blasphemed the God of heaven. There's only one reason why the God of heaven did not strike him dead. Because he loves him. You know what happened that day in Bughouse Square? Over 100 people received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because somebody stood up and told them that Jesus Christ loved them. The cause for God so loved the world. The cost that he gave his only begotten Son. Hey, I love to read definitions of grace. Somebody said grace is unmerited favor. Somebody else says grace is an acrostic, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. I like that. But I like what the black preacher said. Grace is God minus you plus nobody. It's all of God. I like that, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to say, although grace is free, it certainly wasn't cheap. God Almighty searched all over heaven, and there was not an angel good enough to die on the cross for our sins. I have 3 daughters, my wife and I, and we have had the privilege in 54 years of traveling around the world, preached in 49 states and 35 foreign countries. And God, in these 54 years, has given us hundreds of thousands of friends. But you know what? I don't have one friend that I would let one of my 3 daughters die for. I'll go farther than that. I wouldn't take all of my hundreds of thousands of friends together and let one of my 3 daughters die for all of my hundreds of thousands of friends. But I want to remind you, God didn't have 3 sons. He only had one. And he didn't let his son die for his friends. He let his son die for his enemies. What a cost. What a cost. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Galatians 3:13. But Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A young man by the name of Andy was on his way home from work one night. He passed by a field, and all of a sudden something caught his eye. A bungalow was on fire. And all of a sudden Andy remembered there are two boys living in that bungalow. Andy, not thinking about his own life, ran into the bungalow, took a child, put them under each arm, covered them with his coat, brought them to safety without a scratch or a burn. Andy's arms were burnt to a crisp all the way up to the elbows. The parents were burned alive in the flames. Well, a couple months later, the boys were up for adoption. Two people had applied for the adoption. One was the town mayor, and the other was Andy. The judge, the day of awarding the children, looked at Andy and he said, "Now, Andy, I've got one question to ask you, and how you answer this question will determine who gets these two boys." He said, "Now look at this mayor." He said, "He's got a fine position. He's got money in the bank. He's got a beautiful house. He could give these boys anything their hearts desired materially." He said, "Andy, I've checked your bank account. You don't even have a penny in a savings account. You couldn't do anything for these boys that this mayor could do." He said, "Now here's my question. What right do you have to these two little boys?" Andy didn't say a word. You know what he did? He just held up his hands. You look at God tonight and you say, "God, what right do you have to my life?" All Jesus has to do is hold up his nail-pierced hands. The cause, for God so loved the world. The cost, that he gave his only begotten Son. The condition, that whosoever believeth in him. Many years ago, I was in Colorado for a meeting. And the pastor told me he had been dealing with a Roman Catholic lady and he felt like he wasn't getting anywhere with her. So he gave her a challenge. He said, "Now I'm going to leave you a Gospel of John." And he said, "I want you to read the Gospel of John through, and after you do, would you call me and I will come and get your observations of the Gospel of John." He said, "Brother Comfort, she called me this morning. She's read the Gospel of John, and she wants me to come and talk to her about it. Would you like to go with me?" "Pastor, I'm so glad I did. This is classic." We sat down in her living room, and she said, "Pastor," she said, "all of my life, I've been told that there are seven sacraments I had to observe in order to be saved. I've been told that there are commandments I had to keep in order to be saved. But," she said, "as I've gone through the Gospel of John, I don't find any sacrament I have to observe. I don't find any commandment I have to keep." She said, "You know all I find in the book of John? In order for me to be saved, I just have to believe." There it is, ladies and gentlemen. 98 times in the Gospel of John, the word or its equivalent is used. Here are some instances. John 1 and verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name." John 3 and verse 15. "That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3, 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." John 3 and verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 5 and verse 24. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." John 6 and verse 35. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. John 7, 37 and 38. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now here's the way God sums up the book of John. John 20, 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Get it? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So the condition, ladies and gentlemen, is believing. Now listen carefully. For 15 years of my life, I believed intellectually. I went to church and I heard the preacher preach that Jesus lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross and he rose again. And I intellectually believed it all. But you know what? I believed in Jesus like I believed in George Washington. Believing in George Washington never changed my life, nor did believing in Jesus change my life. But when I was 15 years of age in the Asheville, North Carolina auditorium on a Friday night in November of 1953, I heard a preacher say this: there are 18 inches difference between heaven and hell. If you believe in your head, it'll take you to hell. If you believe in your heart, it'll transform your life and it'll take you to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, 62 years ago, as a 15-year-old boy, I transferred a head knowledge to a heart knowledge and changed an eternity in hell for an eternity in heaven. Have you ever had a heart knowledge, or did you have a head knowledge? Now listen carefully to this statement. If when you walk down that aisle to make that profession, if there was no change in your life, there was no salvation. A faith that doesn't change a person's life does not save a person's soul. Can I repeat that? A faith that does not change a person's life does not save a person's soul. Many years ago, there was a tightrope walker by the name of Blondin. Blondin was world-renowned. And one day he got an idea. He was going to do something nobody else had ever done. Many had tried it, but nobody had succeeded. So he noised it abroad that he was going to go across the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Well, the wire services picked it up. And the day came when Blondin was to make his historic trek. The banks of the Niagara were filled with curious onlookers, and they stood in stunned silence as Blondin came to the platform. He started his trek slowly. He heightened his pace, and by the time he got to the other side, he was trotting. They clapped, and they applauded, and they cheered. They had seen history made. He said, wait a minute, wait a minute. He said, how many of you believe that I could put a man in a wheelbarrow and push him across the Niagara in the wheelbarrow on the tightrope? Why, they had seen what he had done. Sure, they believed it. He said, wait a minute. Who will be that person? Finally, a man raised his hand. He said, Mr. Blondin, I'll be that person. He came to the platform, placed himself on the wheelbarrow, and Blondin took him across the tightrope in the wheelbarrow. Question, how many said they believed in Blondin? All of them. How many really believed in Blondin? One. Have you believed in Jesus for the saving of your soul? The cause for God so loved the world. The cost that he gave his only begotten Son. The condition that whosoever believeth in him, finally the consequence, should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have a contrast in that phrase. You have the word perish, that means hell. You have the words everlasting life, that means heaven. Do you know that there are three things that are the same about heaven and hell? Number one, they both last the same amount of time. Number two, there's no exit. Number three, those who go there are there forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've got a choice this morning. Heaven is a place. John 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, I go away and prepare a place for you. Hell is a place. Luke 16 and verse 28, he said, lest they also come into this place of torment. I have in my library a book entitled Testimonies of Dying Saints and Dying Sinners. And it talks about people in years gone by, just before they crossed the river of death, they had a glimpse of the hereafter. Do you know how D.L. Moody died? As he was on his deathbed, his son was standing beside of his bed. D.L. Moody looked up and he said, earth recedes, heaven opens before me. He said, is this death? Why, there's no valley here. His son said, Dad, keep quiet. You've been dreaming. He said, son, I haven't been dreaming. He said, I've already been within the gates of heaven. I've already seen the smile on my grandchildren's faces who are in heaven. He said, this is my coronation day. This is triumph. This is glory. Hey, on the other hand, do you know how the infidel Voltaire died? When Voltaire was on his deathbed, his infidel friends came in his bedroom to see him. Voltaire mustered all of his dying strength, raised himself from the bed, and to the top of his lungs screamed, get them out of here! Get them out of here! He said, you have damned my soul to hell, and I don't want to see the sight of your face in my dying moments. You know what his infidel friends did? They put a watch of infidels outside of his bedroom for 2 solid months, lest anybody should come in and see how an infidel died. You know how Voltaire finally died? His body was convulsing. And he was screaming, get my feet out of the flames! Get my feet out of the flames! His dying words, I wish I had never been born. The nurse that attended the death of Voltaire said this, she would never again, for all the money of London, England, watch another infidel die. Now, my dear friend, if what you have this morning is not good enough to die by, it's not good enough to live by. And I love the song, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The only thing about that song that bothers me is this. When I've been in heaven 10,000 years, there will have been some of you in hell 10,000 years. And that's not even breakfast time in eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the sweetest song ever sung this side of heaven. The cause, for God so loved the world. The cost, that He gave His only begotten Son. The condition, that whosoever believeth in Him, the consequence, should not perish, but have eternal life. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and as my wife plays, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. How many of you in this building this morning can say, Brother Comfort, if I died right now, I can give you a Bible reason why I know I'm saved. Now, wait a minute. I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you if you're a Baptist or a Methodist or Roman Catholic. I'm asking you, has there been a time and a place when you transferred a head knowledge to a heart knowledge and your life was changed, and if you died right now, you can give me a Bible reason why you know you're saved. If you can give me this morning a Bible reason why you know you're saved, would you slip up your hand, please? Keep it up just a moment. If you're not sure, don't be a liar and raise it. Keep it up just a moment. Thank you. You may put them down. Several could not raise their hands. Thank you for being honest. By your not raising your hand, you've been honest with God. You've been honest with me. There's hope for somebody like you. Now, let me ask you a few questions. Number one, do you understand that you're a sinner? You say, well, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, that's you, that's I, that's all of us. All right, number two, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve, our wages. Separation from God because we're sinners. But it says the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, you've got a choice. You can either choose what you deserve or the opposite of what you deserve, the gift of God. Now here's the good news. When Jesus died on Calvary, he did two things. Number one, he took your sin debt. Number two, he purchased the gift of salvation with his blood. You say, how do I get that gift? All right, here it is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, you can be saved right where you sit. Christians, would you pray, please, that folks will respond? If you would like to be saved right where you sit, just bow your head, close your eyes, and pray after me this simple prayer, and pray it sincerely. Here's the prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of your love. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I want to live for Him. Come into my life and take away my sins and be my Lord and Savior for Jesus' sake. Now, Pastor, Brother Gary, and Brother Brubaker and I are watching. How many of you in the building this morning would say, Brother Comfort, I just prayed that prayer in my heart, and I meant it. And as a testimony to the pastor and you, I want to raise my hand to let you know I just prayed that prayer, and I meant it. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, slip up your hand, please, right now. God bless you in the balcony. That's one. Over here on my left, that's two. Two in the middle, that's three. Over there on my right, that's five. Somebody else over here on my left, that's six. I just prayed that prayer in my heart, and I meant it. God bless you back there on the aisle. That's seven. Yes, God bless you. Over there on my left, that's eight, nine in the middle. Somebody else along with these nine, I just prayed that prayer, and I meant it along with these nine. Just slip up your hand right now. Along with these nine, God bless you, sir. You only have to raise it once. Yes, God bless you here. That's 10. Anybody else? I just prayed that prayer and I meant it. Anybody else along with these 10? Anybody else? All right, you 10 that prayed that prayer, would you lift your head right now and look at me just a moment, please? Nobody's looking but you and me. This is just between us. Now, young man, when you prayed that prayer, did you mean it? God bless you. How about you, sir? What about you over here, sir? What about you on the aisle, up there in the balcony, here in the middle? Did you mean it, ma'am? All right. Now, if you prayed that prayer sincerely, God had to save you because His promise is this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Over here in the center. Now, let me say, if you leave this morning and you don't let a personal worker take their Bible and give you assurance, you'll leave and you'll not know for sure you're really saved. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. Then we'll stand to sing an invitation song. There will be personal workers here at the front. The moment you come, they'll take their Bible, give you assurance, and also give you some literature as to what you need to do now that you've received Christ. So if you meant it, when we stand to sing, I expect you to come. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these 10 or so this morning who prayed that prayer. My mind goes back 62 years ago when as a 15-year-old boy, I prayed that prayer, and my life has never been the same since. I pray, dear God, that all of these will leave this morning remembering that on September the 20th, 2015, that they were born again. Lord, maybe there are some who did not pray the prayer, but they know they need to be saved. I pray they'll swallow their pride. Let us come and take a Bible and show them how to exchange an eternity in hell for an eternity in heaven. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Personal workers, would you come to the front and be ready to deal with these? Those 10 or so that raise your hand, if you meant it, right now, slip out of your place. As we sing softly and tenderly, that's right, God bless you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus, God bless you. Wonderful.
Calling for you.
Amen. Someone else, God bless you. What about it in the balcony? God bless you.
Waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Others, would you come? Just slip out of your place. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to sing, "Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing." If you're standing by a friend this morning who's not saved, why don't you kindly and tenderly say, "I'll go with you if you'd like to go." I was in Sydney, Australia in June. And the last night of the meeting, I made that statement. If you're standing by a friend who needs to be saved, why don't you say, "I'll go with you." A man on the staff of that local church reached over to his mother and he said, "Mother, I'll go with you if you'd like to go." She said, "Son, I was waiting for you to say that." Amen. So if you're not saved, let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The invitation is not joining the church at this moment. It's trusting Christ. Come on, as we sing, "Time is now fleeting." Come on.
Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering a death.
What about it in the balcony? Would you come?
Coming for you and for me. Come home, come.
Pastor, would you come, please, sir, and close as you see fit.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As they're playing through, I want to give you another opportunity. If you've prayed today to receive the Lord, don't ever be ashamed of that. He was not ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of Him. We want to help you. nothing to do with you joining this church or coming to join with us. No. This has to do with you and going to heaven. We want to help you. So as they play through, if God is pricking your heart and you're saying, yes, I prayed, yes, I meant it, yes, I'm glad I did, step out of your place and come down here. If you're in the balcony, we've got personal workers in the balcony along the back. If you'll just step out of your seat, go straight to the back. We've got people there to help you. Now's your time. Now's your time. Helping some folks. If you're standing, you can look this way. Let me speak to our church family just a moment. Follow the Lord, however the Lord leads. Somebody that's sitting beside you right now may just be waiting for somebody to encourage them. And even as we leave today, follow the Lord. Let the Lord show you. Speak to people. Let the Lord direct you. I'm trusting that through this message, not only folks are saved in the service, but as a result of the service, that they will trust Christ as their Savior. And what a powerful, powerful message. Amen. We praise the Lord for it. Diane, is it Carberry? Am I right? Diane, today you are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is that true?
Amen.
And we give God the glory for it.
Amen.
He loves you. He spoke to you. And if you meant what you prayed, He meant what He said. Amen. Welcome to the family of God.
Amen.
And we're so happy for you.
Amen.
Where is it Ariel? Is it Wider? Am I right? Witter? Okay, Ariel Witter. And I remember meeting you yesterday evening. Thank you for coming. Yes. And today the Lord spoke to you, and you are coming to let us know that you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that true?
Amen.
Wonderful. May I say this to you just a moment? We had about 12 of those invitations left over. And I was tired. I was worn out. I was at home. I said, I don't want to let any of these go to waste. We went out last night. I called Brad and said, hey, I've got 12 of these invitations. Can we go somewhere? And God sent us to your door.
Amen.
And the Lord brought you today and spoke to your heart, and you're trusting Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And this is Gavin, right? And Gavin, today, you are coming to let us know the same thing, that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that true? Well, we're so thrilled for you.
Amen.
God bless you. That is wonderful. And Jessica Hodge, where's Jessica at? Jessica's over here. And today, you know you're saved. You're getting assurance of your salvation today. And you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. That's not becoming a Christian. You're already saved by trusting Christ, but God has spoken to you. And she was dealing with this, but Dr. Comfort, and got it nailed down today. And she wants to do something for God. And that's a wonderful decision. Praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
Do we have any other decision here? Amen. Okay, this is Shannon's brother, Patrick Barker. Okay. Amen. So you're coming today because God spoke to you, and you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. welcome to the family of God. We're excited for you. And take God at His word. Amen. Have you happy for all this? Say a big amen. Isn't it great? We're talking to some people who prayed. If you meant what you prayed, God's speaking to you now. Let somebody know. Let somebody know. As a matter of fact, if you're a guest and you prayed today to receive Christ as your Savior, when you drop your visitor's card off, let somebody know back there, hey, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Amen. We'll help you. We'll help you. If you're a regular attender and you're not turning in a visitor's card, don't be ashamed. You say, well, I've been teaching Sunday school. Well, then all right, now you're a saved Sunday school teacher. You know what I mean? Don't be ashamed of it. I mean, I say this to you. I was telling folks this. We're just about done here. I was telling folks this. With all this work that this church put in, I don't know about the children yet. I don't know about the bus teens. I've not heard anything, but we're trusting what God does here. All of this work, if one person truly trusted Christ, it's been well worth it, right?
Amen.
And we give God the praise for all of this. And welcome, folks, to the family of God. We're so excited for you. Praise the Lord. Dr. Comfort will be back tonight, 6:30. Tomorrow night, the teens are working. Now, that doesn't mean if you're not a teen, you can't come. Everybody come now, okay? It's just the teens are working hard to get people here. Tuesday night, family night, Wednesday night, prophecy night. Dr. Comfort, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you to go out to the lobby so our folks can meet and greet you. If you would like to go to him and say, I prayed that prayer, go to Dr. Comfort. He'll be glad to help you, okay? And thank you for being here. Let me give you just a few announcements. If you rode the bus in, the children's fair is getting ready to start. And all of the bus children are already out there, more than likely. If you're a bus adult, I think you should have been told where to go. If not, we can help you. If you have a child here, first through sixth grade, you have a first through a sixth grader and you drove in, would you raise your hand just a moment? You drove in first through sixth grade. If your child first through sixth grade, they are in the chapel. Okay, you need to go get them, and they are welcome to go to the children's fair. That's completely up to you. Now, don't leave them here and leave. This is not a free babysitting. All this, but the fair is for all of our children. So please take them out there. That will be good. We appreciate you being here. Be back tonight at 6:30, right in your place. If you're a guest, please take your card out to one of those tables and get your free gift. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you for being here today.